Today and next week, I just want to kind of set up where we want to go next week. Really want to look at what this day is about. We celebrate this day in the Christian church as Palm Sunday. It's the day that Jesus actually went into Jerusalem. The scripture says he came into Jerusalem that was riding a donkey that was actually prophesied in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Here's what Zechariah 9 says this. Behold, your king is coming to you, lowly, sitting on a donkey, on a colt, on the foal of a donkey. This threw everybody off that, number one, a king would never come riding on a donkey into a city. A king would come with pomp and prestige and honor and people, you know, saying all kinds of things about him. But this isn't what Jesus did. He came, Zechariah prophesied, lowly, humble, meek, sitting on a donkey on a colt. The scripture says that, again, Palm Sunday, that the people started taking off their garments, their outer cloaks, and throwing them down on the ground. Started taking, you know, palm branches, cut them down, and then waving them up, throwing them on the ground so the donkey and Jesus would go over them. It would be equivalent that we would say is Hollywood rolling out the red carpet. That's the equivalent. But what I want to talk about today, what distinguished Jesus from all these other Old Testament prophets? What distinguished Jesus from Moses? What distinguished Jesus from Daniel? What distinguished Jesus from any of the great men that we see in the Old Testament? Why was he so unique? Now, if you know it, I'm going to just bring it to this point, that Jesus was 100% God and 100% man. The virgin birth is a mystery that we'll never be able to fully comprehend. Maybe when we go to heaven, I assume we will. But he was 100% man, 100% God. What Jesus did on the earth, he did it as a man anointed by the Holy Spirit. He didn't do what he did because he was God. He did what he did because he was anointed by God. What I want to do is I want to talk to you about that today. I think it's something that we don't sometimes remember. If you have been, have you heard it before, or something maybe you've never heard before, is that it was definitely 100% unique to Jesus, but it wasn't only unique to Jesus. We have the ability to partake of his anointing that's on his life. Can I say it this way? Jesus had the anointing, or we'd say the power of God, the goodness of God, the glory of God, the strength of God, the holiness, all that on him in a way beyond anybody else. You're never going to have exactly to the measure that Jesus had on his life, but you do have some of it in your life. And that is going to be enough to cause you to live a victorious Christian life. God doesn't want you to live a life that's defeated and broken down and beaten up by the devil or by the world. There is an ingredient that will enter your life, that is in your life, that will cause you to overcome whatever has come to you or is trying to get you out of the will of God, away from the will of God. There is an ingredient we want to talk today that was on Jesus, why he did what he did, how he did what he did, and is available to you and me. Read with me, if you would, Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Jesus has already been anointed, Jesus has already been water baptized by John the Baptist. He goes into the city, he goes into the temple, he goes to the man that was going to read, he gets the book, and he opens up to Isaiah, the chapter 60, and he starts reading this exact verse that Isaiah chapter 60 says, but he's talking about himself. He's finding himself in the Word of God. Here's what it says in Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord. Come on, let's read this together. Can you do it? 1, 2, 3, read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Verse 19, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. The scripture says after Jesus read this, he closed that book, those Old Testament scrolls, he closes it and he says this, today this has come true into what you've heard. This has come true today, meaning I am he that Isaiah prophesied and spoke about 700 years ago. What he said 700 years ago in Isaiah chapter 60, I'm telling you right now what he wrote about, this is me. I am he. I am the anointed one. And it would be like Jesus just kind of mic drop, right? The Bible says all the people were looking at him. Everybody was going like, what's going on? Come on. And after that, there was all the healings and some miracles that happened. Listen, the key word that we find that is the operative word in all these things that Jesus was doing was and is that Jesus is anointed. Jesus was anointed to do the things he did. This is what was on him. Listen, Jesus was anointed to do the things that he did. This was what was on him, and this was what was in him. Listen to me. This is the same spirit that is in you and will come upon you at times for service. The power and the person of the Holy Spirit was manifested in Jesus' life. This is how he taught with power or authority, the scripture says, and this is how he set people free by the power. The power was the anointing of God. Here's what the scripture says in Isaiah chapter 27. It says this, Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27. It says this, and it shall come to pass in that day. Notice, in that day, that his burden shall be taken away from off your shoulder and his yoke from off your neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. The anointing. Notice that. The anointing is what's going to remove that burden. The anointing is what's going to destroy that yoke. That's what's going to take this thing off your shoulder, the weight from your shoulder. The analogy, again, is an ox, two oxen that have the yoke on them. Where one goes, the other goes. Where the stronger one goes, the weaker has to go. And what Jesus is saying, what the Word of God is saying, is that there's a power, there's a force of sin in the earth that wants to yoke you, to take you a place you don't want to go. And there's an ingredient called the Anointed One, Jesus, and a person, and a manifested anointing, a power, a strength, an ability that will be in your life because of Jesus, that will break the hold, break the yoke, break the assignment, break the plan, break the strategy of the devil off your life. You don't have to be yoked to anything, but to be yoked to Jesus, to be yoked to his anointing, to be yoked to his power. The more you know about it, the more you follow it, the more you agree with it, the more it's going to be manifested in your life. Let's say it this way. Yokes are struggles. Yokes are strongholds. Yokes are demonic ties or gripping situations from your past. Just things in your life, things that you just can't get free from. Things like you just keep going back to. They're yokes that drag you down, keep you bound, keep you afflicted, keep you messed up in your mind, keep you alone, keep you lonely, keep you fearful. Yokes and bondages and things that come on people, weights, criticisms and negativity that comes in the earth that somebody could shake off, but because there's something coming into your life or on your life to mess you up, it gets you yoked to it, and it's hard for many people to get free. But there's an anointed one named Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, everybody. There's an anointed one named Jesus. Come on, thank God for Jesus. Yeah. So come on, this is what just simple words, what this anointed is, or what this anointed one, what it'll do in your life. That the anointing is, here's a little working definition, the anointing is the burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God. Come on, say that with me. The anointing is the burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God. Come on, one more time, you're saying it so good. Come on, the anointing is the burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God. So anything that's trying to destroy you, there's an anointing to reverse that. Anything that's trying to come on you, like a certain time of year, something tries to come on you because your family member, your loved one, your whoever died or COVID. Listen, there was like a demonic weight that came on us during COVID. And it still affects people right now. You got to break free of that. There's an anointing to break you free. Come on, everybody. This anointing was manifest not only in what Jesus did, but listen, I want to talk to you for a second. It was on when Jesus taught. And there's a whole segment of Christianity that will only get into it if there's power and signs and wonders. They'll only kind of like lean into it and think that God's really quote unquote moving. Can I tell you something? Every time the word, the gospel's preached, there's power available. The scripture says when Jesus taught the word, they were amazed because he taught as one who has had authority. He wasn't like all the scribes, wasn't like all the people they heard, all the religious people. Because we're not talking about religion, we're talking about a relationship with a person named Jesus Christ, who is the power of God. Come on, everybody, who has the power of God. There is nothing that can bind you that there's not a power and authority to get you free from. Golf claps are welcome. Praise the Lord. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about these four or five things that Jesus was anointed to do. Because if he was anointed to do it, you can receive that anointing. Come on. You can receive that anointing. You can receive it. The scripture says that Jesus was anointed, number one, to preach the gospel to the poor. To preach the gospel to the poor. The gospel actually means, the phrase the gospel actually means good and favorable news. Good and favorable news. It's favorable. It's not putting a weight on me. It's not putting a yoke on me. It's not heavy. The gospel is going to free me. It's good and favorable news. Jesus was anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. In the Old Testament, the poor had no inheritance. They had no economic status. They were depressed. They were deprived. They were depraved of any privileges. They looked upon as a society as outcasts. They didn't belong. But when Jesus goes and teaches on the Sermon on the Mount, it starts in Matthew chapter 5, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, one of the longest teachings that he had. Do you remember what Jesus said the very first thing? He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." Jesus elevates the poor in spirit, those who were depending on and looking to him, looking to God to help. He elevates them. If you're humble, if you realize I need God, he is going to come with his anointing to help you. He's going to save. He's going to deliver. He's going to restore. He's going to revive. He's going to renew. The book of Job chapter 14 says, even if a stump is cut down at the scent of water, it'll bud again. It'll blossom again. Come on, when you start reading the word, you come here and you start hearing worship and you start seeing kids and older people and people that maybe had a challenging past get water baptized. All of a sudden, God just starts stirring some stuff in you. And if you bow your heart, if you bow your knee, if you bow your mind, God will meet you with power every single time. His anointing will be there to lift you. Come on, everybody, to strengthen you. Yeah, he will. Psalm 40, check it out. Psalm 40, verse 17. The psalmist said this, "I am poor." Ever said that? I'm not talking about poor financially, a couple nickels to rub together. That's not what he's talking about. I am poor on the inside spiritually. I'm needy. But Lord God, you care about me and you come to my rescue. You come to my rescue. I'm poor. I'm needy. I don't know what to do. I need you. You could have the house paid off. The car is paid off. You could have the vacation home. You could be doing amazing, but be dead on the inside. And still you got to cry out, I'm poor. I'm needy. I need you, God. I humble myself. And when you do that, God's going to come in and fill your cup again and again and again. Somebody said this, God doesn't have anything to say to those who are full, only to those who are empty. So if you're hungry, if you're thirsty, Jesus says, I've got something to say to you. I've got something to say to you. Humble yourself. Pray. Ask God. Look to me. I need you. I'm looking to you. I need you in my life as my singleness. I've had a checkered past. I don't want to go down that road anymore. I need you right now in my marriage. I need you as a single person in college or high school. I need you. Listen, when Jesus, somebody said this, I read this a couple weeks ago, that in order for Jesus to preach the gospel to the poor, he had to have contact with those who were poor in spirit. And just because he had contact with them doesn't mean he could force his will on them. They had to participate. They had to ask him. They had to lean in. So I'm asking you, listen to me, to lean in to the anointed one, Jesus Christ, who's got the anointing to help you if you realize that you're poor in spirit. I need God. I need you now in my job. I need you in my marriage. I need you in my school. I need you right now, right here in 2024. I need you. The world's going crazy. We got people being slaughtered over in Israel and Gaza and stuff going on in the Ukraine and stuff in Moscow. Oh, Lord God, we heard stuff before. We've seen stuff before. I'm saying I need you right here, right now with me. Can somebody say amen? He knows up close and personal how to help whoever humbles himself. He's here and he's available to meet your need. The poor in spirit. Jesus then, the scripture says, said, I'm anointed to heal the brokenhearted. Let's talk about it. To heal the brokenhearted. Man, we're just living in a broken society. Everybody knows that. There are some people that might say, everything's great. Come on, everything's great. Everything looks great. Everything's great. Listen, it's not great. We live in a broken society. There's broken people, broken marriages, broken homes, severed friendships, severed relationships, people being ghosted, people forgotten, people being left out, people being confused, people being bullied, lied to, lied about. The list goes on and on. List goes on and on. That will affect your heart, not your beating heart, the real you on the inside. If it is not dealt with, listen, you'll have a cracking point. You'll have a breaking point. You'll have a damaged point so bad that you might not ever see it, but every guy in this room, and probably some of you ladies, have seen those cars going down the road, and you went, that's a damaged title on that car, because the car is going down the road kind of at an angle. It's still running, but it ain't running good. God wants to heal broken-hearted people. Healing the brokenhearted. Listen, look on the screen real quick. Healing the brokenhearted means to be set free, means to be loosed and to be released from the detrimental and the destructive effects of a shattered or a fractured life. What happened to you, you didn't want, you didn't ask for. Maybe it was self-inflicted. Maybe you were pulling the gun out of your belt, so to speak, and you shot yourself in the foot. We've all done that. We've all done that. Done stupid things to ourselves. But there's other things that people have done to us, the world's done to us, a parent did to us, that teacher did to us, that friend did to us. They abused us, they hurt us, they maligned us, they lied to us. Sexual, physical abuse, emotional abuse. It's happened to everybody in the room. There's an anointed one named Jesus that will heal your broken heart. Man, Isaiah 53, it says this about Jesus, that he was despised, he was rejected, he was forsaken, he was forgotten. He knows what brokenhearted feels like because he lived it. He lived it. Peter picks this up in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. And some of you that have been in church for a while have heard and had, you know, different people talk about this concerning physical healing. Can I just pump the brakes for a minute? This scripture is not talking about physical healing. When you read it in context, this scripture is talking about the effects of damaged relationships and that there's a healer to set you free. He says this, he personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that you could be dead to sin and live for what's right. By his wounds, you are healed. By every wound of another person, of a friend, of a family member, a trusted person, a school associate, whatever it is, every wound that's come to you to penetrate your heart, that your heart still feels it, you think about it, it's still there, it's damaged. There is healing for your life concerning every wound. Now listen, here's where it gets heavy, is that you can choose. Here's the word, the operative word. You can choose to live dead to the sin that was committed against you. You have a choice to live dead to that because Jesus bore that for you on the cross for your healing. But if all your life now, all your life, even though there's an anointed one, even though there's a remedy, even though there's somebody who bore that for you, but you choose to bear it for yourself, you choose to still be yoked, you choose to still have that weight on your shoulder. You choose. I choose to still have that burden because it feels a little good to have that burden to talk to people about all the stuff that's come against me. But yet, it still is breaking my heart. God says there's power. There's power. There's an anointing to bring healing into your life if you want it. The scripture says in Psalm 147, he heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. He heals them. He doesn't just heal them. He binds up the wounds so they can walk in total freedom and victory. There's an anointed one to bring healing for every brokenhearted area of your life. Jesus was anointed, the scripture said, we read it, to proclaim, come on, look at this, proclaim liberty to the captives, to proclaim liberty to the captives, what we said a moment ago, to proclaim liberty, to preach liberty to the captives. The proclamation, what we know about this word is that the proclamation of God's word is the beginning of all transformation. The proclamation. That's why I said earlier, we've got people that want to come maybe and you know, maybe in some different churches they want to come and they want to see the show. Could I say it that way? They want to see the person. They want to see everybody falling out on the floor. And I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit like everybody else. But listen to me, I'm going to get just as excited with the proclamation of the gospel as I see that as well. Someone getting healed, that's amazing, but I'm going to get just as excited when I hear the word being preached, because the proclamation of God's word is the beginning of a transformed life and of all transformation. Listen, don't underestimate what's going on right now. The word of God being performed, the word of God being preached, the word of God being shared, being with revelation into your life. This is the power of God's creative word that has all authority, all power to break any kind of yoke in your life. This is the beginning of transformation. Come on, anybody like me, you ever eat good for one day and go by the mirror and go, oh man, come on everybody, ain't nothing happening after one day, but the transformation is beginning, right? Come on, let's keep it for a week. Let's keep it for a month. Let's keep it for a year. Well, I'm losing you right now. I could tell. I just lost the whole crowd. Man, come on. The gospel is a proclamation of freedom from sin because of Jesus. It's a proclamation of freedom. I don't have to live this way anymore. You proclaim liberty to me. I don't have to stay bound. I don't have to stay limited. I don't have to stay living in my past. Because the gospel will set me free. That's why Jesus says in John 8:32, he says, you'll know the truth. Come on, you'll know the truth. And that truth will set you free. Come on, you got to know the truth. Even though the truth can set you free, it won't set you free until you know it. Until you know it. The gospel, listen to me, the gospel frees us, let's say it this way, the power of the gospel frees us from the power of the little g, God of this world. It frees us because there is a little g God of this world who's trying to rule and reign over everybody who doesn't know and unsuspecting. He has no power and authority over you, and you and I can resist him. That's why the power of the gospel is going to keep showing you the freedom that you can have in him. Romans 1:16 says this. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. Look at this. It's the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. When you believe the gospel, there's power there. Come on, I'm not going to be ashamed. Somebody said this. The only part of the gospel that'll work for you is the part that you're not ashamed of. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of salvation. I'm not ashamed of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm not ashamed of healing. I'm not ashamed. Come on, that God wants to be, that God's a good God. I'm not ashamed that I can live a holy life, that I can live pure, that our young kids can live a pure life in a wicked time, in a wicked society. I believe its power. I believe the power is available because the gospel's still available. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God to salvation, to deliverance, to freedom. Come on, to safety, to protection, to all redemption. Yeah. So listen, let's say it this way. More gospel equals more power. Come on. More gospel just equals more power. Somebody said this, you don't have a power problem, you got a gospel problem. Come on, let's read the word. Come on, we say this before, but read the word, believe the word, pray the word, act on the word, do the word. The gospel will continually bring power in your life. Come on, somebody say amen up here. Wow. Jesus was anointed. He was anointed. He was anointed. He is anointed to set people free. He's anointed to set you free. If you think that's not me, that's not me. I don't qualify. Everybody qualifies. Everybody qualifies if you'll just humble yourself. Jesus was anointed, Scripture says, of recovering a sight, to give recovery a sight to the blind. What's amazing about this is that we do know that Jesus healed blind people. We know this. But what he's talking about here isn't physical blindness. He's talking about spiritual blindness. And one of the definitions of blindness is this, is that the inability to see what's right in front of you. Have you ever been talking to somebody? Maybe it's a family member. And it's like you're talking to, you're blue in the face, you could say it that way. And it's like they just don't even see it. You're talking to your friend and you're talking about Jesus and about a changed life and about coming to church or whatever. And it's kind of like they're just like that, just like that blank stare. What's the deal? They're just blind. They're blind. In the book of Genesis, we know that the serpent, who was an amazing creature that God Almighty made, Lucifer, later known as Satan, the serpent, dragon, the Antichrist, the one that's against Christ, that same spirit, come on, that he's working now in the earth right now. He was there in the garden. He got in the garden, and remember the story, the dialogue that he came to Eve was talking to Eve. And what's he doing? The serpent really deceived Eve, blinded Eve to the Father God's love, the Father God's goodness, blinded her. You know, God's keeping something from you, sis, because God doesn't want you to, you know, kind of be like him. And so that's why he said, don't eat that. He's just bringing deception, bringing blindness. Listen to me. Blindness, being blind, is talking about not for your work and not for your employment, not for your schooling, your education, but being blind is talking about the inability to see God's direction and vision and purpose for your life. It's just, I can't see it. I can't see God using me. How would God use me? Well, read the Bible. Come on, read the Bible. We got guys that did crazy stuff, stupid stuff. David went and cheated on another man's wife and then had that wife's husband killed. But yet the scripture says this was a brother after God's own heart. It's amazing when somebody breaks the yoke of shame and guilt and their past sin over off their life, what God can do with them. Recovery of sight to the blind. I like what T.G. Jakes said. He said, I might have done what they said I did, but I'm not who they say I am. I'm different. I'm changed. That was what I did. But I want to have spiritual sight. He's talking about spiritual sight, to see God's call, to see God's assignment on your life. And this is what I need to fulfill. I need to fulfill this. Because we know 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 says this, speaking about this little God of this earth. Check out what it says. Satan, who is the little God of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They're unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand the message about the glory of Christ, who is the likeness of God, the exact likeness of God. They just don't see it. They just don't see it. Why don't they see it? Because the God of this world, the scripture says, has blinded their eyes. So being spiritually blind, what we can see from the scripture, spiritual blindness means a couple things. Number one, with your mind, you can't even believe it. With your mind. Spiritual blindness, with my mind, I can't even believe it. I can't even believe that God would do that for me. I can't even believe that God would use me. I can't even believe that God would work in my marriage. You don't know what I've done. Spiritual blindness means with my eyes, what I said a moment ago. You just can't even see it. You can't even picture it. You can't even envision it. And spiritual blindness affects your heart. You can't even understand it. You just don't understand it. It's like just too far out in the future. It's really interesting. In Mark chapter 8, there's a blind guy. Some of y'all remember the story. He's blind and he comes to Jesus wanting healing. You know what Jesus does? Jesus gets that brother and he takes him out of the town. He gets him out of his environment so he can bring healing to him. Listen to me. Maybe for some of you in the room, the anointing of God that will cause recovery of the sight to the blind, to cause you to see, hear, understand your heart, in your heart, what God wants you to do, is if you will get out of your city, get out of your culture, get out of some of the friends you're running with, get out of some of the places you're going to. Maybe it's certain family members. God bless all of our family members. But come on, how many know you got some toxic family members? You need to say toxicity, whatever that word to be. I ain't hanging out with you except on Christmas. Come on, everybody. I'm going to give you a tamale and I'm going to say goodbye. Come on. Come on. I'm just not doing it. I'm not doing it. Because being spiritually blind will affect the direction and vision God has for your life. Come on, you're doing real good this. Come on, we're doing all right, everybody? Come on, just two more real quick. And it's going to be amazing because I'm going to ask some of you in the room that God's talking to you to, as we all stand up and worship in a minute, that I'm going to ask you to come to the front because I believe there's an anointing to break the yoke off your neck and the burden off your life. And you're going to see Jesus work in your life in a new way. Whether you feel anything or not, listen to me, the Word of God is setting you free. I believe that. Yeah. So here's what it says. That Jesus was anointed to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Man, this is a trigger word in our generation now. Depressed, oppressed, people under the darkness, under the cloud, can't seem to get free. There's an anointing to set free those who are oppressed. This word actually means, in the original language, oppressed means to be bruised, to be broken down, to be crushed by pressure. Bruised, broken down, crushed by pressure. It means that you're fragmented. Listen to me, a person who's fragmented, we would say it on the real far extreme side, that they're bipolar, they're schizophrenia, they're really not who they should be. Now, the anointing on Jesus' life, listen to me, wasn't only preaching authority, he was displaying authority. So I'm not just talking about some little poems or some little, you know, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I die when I should wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take kind of prayer. I'm not talking about some little nursery rhymes and things. I'm talking about there's a person named Jesus Christ who has all power and authority to set you free and keep you free. Set you free from oppression, from the bruise, from the broken down, from whatever's coming against you, from being crushed under the pressure, the weight of whatever's trying to come into your life. Scripture says this in Acts chapter 10. Peter actually wrote this, or he was preaching one time. He's speaking about Jesus. He said this in Acts 10:38. You know how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. Harassed by the devil. For God was with him. The same God that's with Jesus is with you through and by the power of the Holy Spirit. That there's a power source on the inside of you that will keep oppression far from you. The bruise that's happened to you, the affliction that's happened to you, the thought sometimes, I can't take the weight. I'm going to break down. No. Because the Holy Spirit said that he'll come and strengthen you and stand by you and protect you and keep you and make you strong. There's a strengthener on the inside of you. Yes, there is. A strengthener for you, spirit, soul, and body, that you don't have to bow under the weight of that. When that thing tries to come on you, that cloud, that darkness, that fear, that anxiety, that pressure, there's an anointed one on the inside of you that can resist that. So much so that John, the beloved apostle, writes this in 1 John chapter 3. He says, the reason the Son of God was made manifest or visible was to undo, was to destroy, was to loosen and dissolve the works the devil has done. There's some works the devil has done. We're not denying that. I'm not denying the work the devil has done or is doing in your life. I'm saying we have to resist it. And there's an anointed one named Jesus who's got the power and all power in heaven and earth to cause you to walk out of here today, listen to me, with the seeds of freedom today. That you don't have to be bound by that, limited by that, destroyed by that. That affects you. It affects broken heart. How I see me, like someone said, just somebody that's got this wounded spirit or this orphan spirit. No, I don't belong and nobody loves me. And when you get close and you try to hug, it's almost like the dog on the street and you try to pick them up and they back off and they want to growl their teeth at you. And you're just trying to love on them. Get them out of that situation. Every hand reaching out towards you, you think that some, I don't need it. I'm good. because you got something going on the inside. God says, I'm here to, my anointing will help you and break that off your life. God, listen, with all kindness and all sincerity, let me say this. God is the only one who can completely and totally set you free from the effects of what happened to you. Counseling, I'm for it. Therapy, I'm for it. If you need medicine or pills to get you partly, I'm for it. I am for it. But listen to me. Don't do all that without doing the anointed one. Come on. Come on, everybody. Let's get him involved. Come on. Let's get him involved. Come on, everybody. Let's clap if we're going to clap. Let's get him involved. Yeah. Yeah. And lastly, before Jesus closed that scroll, closed that book, he said this, the Spirit of the Lord's upon me. He's anointed me. He said this, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. What's that mean? Jesus is saying, this is your season. This is your time. This is your day. This is your hour. This, come on, God's favor is here. God's favor is on your life. I'm here. I'm getting ready to change everything in your life. Come on, I'm getting ready to change everything in your life. Come on, everybody. Come on, I'm not going to wait any longer to serve Jesus. Come on, your power's here right now. Come on, stand up all over the room. Come on, stand up all over the room. Come on, if you're brokenhearted, come on, as I said, you got something going on in your life. You just say, man, I need to bow my knee. I need healing in my life. I need God's victory in my life. Come on, as we sing this song, come on, all over the room. I want you to lift your hands. Come on, worship God. Magnify God. We honor you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Come on, we sing that. Come on, we worship you, Lord. Come on, leave your chair, leave your seat. Come down. Make this an altar right here.